On my last trip to Uganda, I remember stopping at a cross of a missionary, and 20 minutes later I stopped at another cross of another missionary, and 25 minutes later I stopped at another cross of a catechist. And I call it the way of the cross, really, that road, because there's so much suffering there. There's a whole spiritual poverty there. There's a whole physical, climatic poverty there as well. But as well as that, the amount of missionaries that were killed there over the last 20, 25 years is incredible. I was speaking to one bishop, the northeastern part of Uganda. He said, I was in the parish 2 or 3 weeks ago, and the priest decided, he put the names of all the people who have been killed in that parish in the last 4 or 5 years. And he said, we had 400 names written on the cross by the time the ceremony was over. So he said, that was 400 names on one cross. He said, we couldn't put up a cross for each of those 400 people. And it's a great gift for anyone who's listening to be able to partake with that priest or with that bishop or with that martyr on the missions. And we can do it through the propagation of the faith. We can do it through Mission Sunday. When we talk about missionary co-responsibility today, we talk about participation in the missionary effort of the church. And participating in the missionary effort of the church doesn't necessarily mean that I'm a Francis Xavier, that I have to go on mission. It can also mean that I'm a Teresa of Lisieux, that I can actually pray for the mission, remembering that two of them are our mission patrons, that I can actually pray for the mission without going. But it can also help that I can actually be like Pauline Jericho. I don't have to go on a mission. She obviously prayed for mission, but I can help the mission. So like if the three saints say, you have St. Francis Xavier, who went on mission. You have St. Teresa, who was the great patroness of the mission, who prayed for the mission. And you knew Pauline Jericho, who decided that she would help the mission. And she was never in a missionary country herself. So the great gift about propagation of the faith at the moment is that anybody can actually say, I want to participate in the hope-giving life that the church wants to give today through Christ, the resurrected Christ, the resurrected Lord. Going back to Uganda again, you were asking me about Uganda, especially the northern part of Uganda. You know, I began by celebrating the Ugandan martyrs. I was there for the celebration of the Ugandan martyrs. And I remember as we walked out in procession with all the Ugandan bishops that day and with the papal nuncio, I remember going up the first hill and I saw all these smiling faces and all these heads that I could see, just one grouped against the other. And then we went down the next hill and that was full of heads as well. So then we walked up another hill in order to go to the altar, because the altar was at the lakeside, actually, in Kampala. And there was a vast plain around us, and again hills on both sides again, and absolutely full of people. I was asking the bishop that was next to me. He said, last year we had over 1 million people, and he said, this year it's much bigger. There were like 2 million people there that day, and people came from not only Uganda, people also came from neighboring countries. Why? To honor young men who had been burned as Ugandan martyrs way back 170 years ago. And today when I walked around Uganda, there were so many martyrs, and still are so many martyrs today. You know, people who are still prepared to die for their faith. But then you have all these living martyrs as well. All those people, catechists and priests and sisters. I went to one school, for example, where you have Ugandan sisters teaching in a secondary school. And I remember when I went into the school, the police were there, police women, and they were interviewing some of the girls. And I innocently said, have some of these girls done something wrong that the police are here? And the sister said, no. She said, these girls have run away from home because they want education. And she said, the police are here to make sure that they came of their own free will. And then we can actually defend having them here, even though they're minors, because we'll get permission from the local court to have them here. So these are young girls in a very macho culture, where you have the boy brought up as a warrior. He has to be able to mind calves and cattle, and then he has become a herder and become a warrior. And that's a society where girls are being sold for cattle. And yet these young girls at 11, 12 years of age see the sisters, Ugandan sisters that are there. They see something different. And they actually run away from the security of their own home to go to the sisters in order to be educated. And that's what the church is doing in some of these countries today, you know, which is absolutely wonderful. It's giving hope to the youth, and it's giving a voice to the voiceless. And that can sound very cliche, but like, you have to see it and you have to witness it, you know. And I invite people that want to go on missionary experience. And I'm not talking here about missionary tourism. I'm talking about maybe going out to, because I'm interested in some sort of a missionary situation, and live there for 2 or 3 weeks with the sisters or with a parish priest, in order to just see what their daily life's about. And you see a wonderful side of a church which is very poor, a church which has very little resources, which is totally overextended in trying to cope with all the offices and all the situations which it has to cope with, giving absolutely wonderful testimony.